Dot com.
Said an unknown person threw acid in her face, now says it was just a hoax. She did it herself. Are you kidding me? In the meantime, this was real. It wasn't a hoax and it wasn't a reality show. A gunman critically injures a doctor at Johns Hopkins Hospital and later killed himself and his mother. Wow, crazy things happening in emergency rooms and in some of our best hospitals in this country. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. We're heading into another weekend. You know what that means. Hour number three, nail the score. That's right. You could have huge bragging rights, and more importantly, you get the booty, the prize booty, because the closet is full, and we are dying to give it to somebody. Our computer will randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL. You tell us what you think's going to – you don't have to tell us what you think's going to happen. You tell us who you think's going to win the game and then throw out some numbers for us. And if you correctly nail the score, you're the winner. So far, we haven't had a winner other than one of our technical folks at the mothership in Minnesota at the network, ironically enough, who wasn't even into sports. So, see, it's not about knowing sports or liking sports or knowing the NFL. It's like picking lottery numbers. So maybe this year will be the year we crown somebody, and week two could be the week. Last week, it was Dallas and the Skins. A couple people picked the Skins, but nobody correctly nailed the score, which was Washington beating Dallas 13-7. But let's bounce back to our big story, really, because we always say it's about water cooler buzz here on America Tonight, and a lot of people, sadly, are talking about the story at Johns Hopkins. The second it broke, my iPhone lit up like a pinball machine, and I didn't know if there was hostages, what was going on, and it was over pretty quickly from what I understand. But here's what some witnesses said as they saw things happen.
I heard a bang, and then this resident came around the corner saying, he shot the doctor, he shot the doctor. We kind of helped them get up on the gurney. We took a supply cart and we put it in front of that one patient room, and then I kind of got out of there.
I was just like, it scared me, and it's like totally unexpected. You come to the hospital to get seen for help or whatever, and find out somebody's in there shooting, and it totally like puts you, like make you think, like what is really going on?
Yeah, what is really going on? It's the, like I said, the latest violent thing to happen in a hospital or some other healthcare facility. I guess this goes on a lot more than I thought. There was something that happened just last week when a man broke a chair, used one of the legs to beat a 53-year-old nurse, and the nurse had to have eye surgery. She was battered in her head and her face and her neck, and then there was the incident maybe 6-7 months ago in North Carolina. And this happened when somebody opened fire in a trauma room, and this was after a bar fight. So there's lots of examples of this, and we're going to have some healthcare people on the show next week to talk about, wow, what it's like in these settings. But this was scary stuff, and it was over, like I said, pretty quickly. That's, I guess, the only good news in this, and the fact that right now the doctor is surviving, but some terrible moments, certainly for the people at Johns Hopkins. We're going to jump quickly to this one because this is the worst. Police aren't busy enough, and investigators and detectives, that they have to try to track down a bogus story. And this one's been brewing for a while. Remember, what happened was a 28-year-old woman came in, said somebody came into a hospital, said somebody had thrown acid in her face. And this happened in Vancouver, Washington. Turns out that Bethany Storo was, in fact, had inflicted it on herself. So she's going to be charged, maybe, and they're trying to decide this. She might be charged with, lying to these prosecutors. They say she's upset and she's remorseful and it got bigger than she expected it would get. Wow, is that a crazy cry for attention to do that? I mean, what are the possible motives? And, you know, this is what happens. There were all kinds of discrepancies in what she was telling the investigators. So they're on this wild goose chase, and then they start to question the splatter patterns on her face, and it just didn't add up after a while. And, of course, she described the person who attacked her as an African-American woman with an athletic build and a ponytail. And, you know, that's not good. So here we go again. So she gets released from the hospital about a week and a half ago. She has to undergo surgeries for all, a couple surgeries for all the injuries after the attack. And see, this was the thing, too. Not only did the police spend hundreds of hours on the case, I mean, they have to prosecute her. The community felt so horrible about it, made national news. So all kinds of people who didn't have two nickels to rub together were donating to help this woman. And, you know, whatever was she thinking, coming up with this twisted tale. So I feel sorry for the people that were duped in this whole thing, and they probably have to feel pretty ripped off by it. I can only imagine that the prosecutor will do something here, and I think they should. I think they should prosecute her because that's manpower wasted. And then the same thing with the doctors at the hospital and all the people who were trying to raise the money. Imagine how her family feels, because I guess they really, truly believe the family had absolutely no idea. All right, you want some good news right off the bat? Because we're always starting and hitting you with a really heavy load, aren't we? I guess this is good news, right? The drilling is done, finito, completed on a relief well that actually intersects with the BP well involved in the disaster that was one of the worst in our history. If you remember the Gulf oil disaster, that's all we were talking about forever and ever and a day, right? So now that the well intersects, BP is going to be able to inject the heavy mud that they talked about, much heavier than the oil from the new well into the old well, then that would complete the whole process of plugging it up. It's funny how stories get relegated to what I would call the back page or the back of your mind, because things move so quickly, and this couldn't have been a bigger story. And the rippling effects of that platform, the Deepwater Horizon, going down between the lawsuits, the loss of life, the loss of livelihoods, the new restrictions, and the closer look at what's going on with deep water drilling, and then the abandoned wells, and how much will it cost to make sure they're capped off. I mean, it's really had an amazing effect on other oil companies, too. Don't you know that there's a few people, when they're throwing them back on the 19th hole, that are cursing BP for what happened back in April? As I said, it's the rippling effect. It wasn't just this one platform going down, polluting the Gulf. It affected a lot of people, and I think it will continue to affect some livelihoods in the very near future, but also in the distant future as well. All right, we're coming back with more ONE in just a few.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
So you got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at preparedbinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will ride.
Coming up on America Tonight, Johnny Battaglia joins us. He is from a very famous crime family, and it's actually an interview that we did a while ago that many of you requested to hear again, and we have never aired it since the first time we talked to Johnny. And I thought it was appropriate because part of our cheap movie review in this jam-packed show heading into the weekend includes a movie called The Town. And it's a mob of a different sort, but kind of the same premise, the power, the things that happen in the group setting. I mean, this is kind of an Irish mob. In the case of Battaglia, it's the traditional Italian mob that he grew up around. In other words, a lot of things might have fallen off the truck and went his way. And what's it like to really grow up in a crime family? Not just what you think it would be like, but what's it really like? I happened to catch the other day a rerun. I guess I was running around waiting for some people to call me back. And The Sopranos happened to be on. And I thought about that show and how that really tore people up who didn't like the portrayal of Italians in the East Coast, and then other people who got it and know that, yeah, you know, this happens, and there's these pizza joints, and there's these things that are going on with the Gambino crime family. So he's got some interesting perspectives to share coming up here on ATN in our next couple of segments. But before we get to that, odds and ends, it means it is odds and ends, some crazy things that have been happening on the day. The tax cuts, the tax cuts, the tax cuts. The conversation is all about the tax cuts, right, for the last 4 or 5 months, and it's the Bush tax cuts that are going to expire in December. So here we are almost in October, right? So 31 House Democrats, most who are in trouble because they're facing a really tough re-election bid, have signed a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, urging them to extend the expiring tax breaks for everybody, no matter what your income level is, including the wealthy. So 31. Pelosi and some of the other House Dems have made it clear that they don't support that, that they support President Obama's proposal on a bill that only renews the tax breaks for anybody making $250,000 and under. But now all of a sudden, remember, it all operates on politics. It's the same thing. If you take anything away from whatever I say on this show and you think, oh, that's all BS, the one thing you can take away from the show for sure that you probably all would agree upon, it's all about the re-election. I always say this. They're playing for more. So the second somebody gets elected, the people around them are playing for more years. They want more, 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 and more. So whatever it takes to get those years and to keep those jobs going, that's what it's about. It's the other mantra of mine, follow the money. So the two go hand in hand. And there are people that are genuinely and should be, with all the House seats up, worried, and 37 Senate seats, that they might not be back again for more. So this is the thing. Before these midterms, which are less than 50 days away, the leaders, like Pelosi, haven't decided whether they're going to schedule a vote on the legislation before the voters go to the polls. And this letter was signed by, like, Utah Congressman Jim Matheson, for example, or in Illinois, Melissa Beam, her name was on it, to name a couple of them. Michigan Congressman Gary Peters' name was on it. And what the 31 Democrats said is, or concurred, is that after listening to small business owners and families and economists, they're concerned that raising any taxes right now could negatively impact economic growth. And I agree with that. Whether you say, who cares, stick it to the people who are making more. It's not about that, because if the people who are making more are signing your checks and they're getting stuck and the corporate loopholes are being closed, that means the headcount is going to go down. And that means that people will lose their jobs. It is simple economics in some cases. Certainly not in every case, but in some of them, that could happen. In some of the industries, that could happen, depending on what business it is, et cetera. But you get my drift. And that's exactly what they're saying. Okay, we talk to businesses, we talk to families, and we talk to people who would be affected, and we don't think it's good. We think we should just freeze it. I would just freeze it. I would extend it, freeze it, whatever, for 2 years, or at least a year, and then go from there. But, the argument is, what makes the government run? We got to collect the taxes. We need the taxes or everything falls apart. And look, we're already bleeding. Whose fault is it that we're bleeding? And you could go back to the previous administration and then certainly this administration. And I think the smart move is just to extend it all the way across. Extend all of it. I agree. And maybe have an expiration date on that. If that makes everybody feel more comfortable, then fine, because that's what happened in the case of the Bush tax cuts. They had an expiration date, so put the expiration date on it and then just pass it. The last thing we need with everything collapsing is more problems, more taxes. You look at Nevada and the unemployment rate, you look at some of the other states, because I think it's really 10% almost anywhere, and that doesn't include... And I always say this, it doesn't include the underemployed, because there's a difference. People are juggling two and three jobs. Many of you who call are juggling two and three jobs. Our pal Rick in Illinois, when he calls in, he's juggling a couple of jobs. Don in Wyoming, he's juggling a couple of things. All right, so here's the deal on another piece of legislation. After months and months and months and months of debate and lots of pressure from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the Senate passed a $42 billion bill aimed at helping small businesses. Remember, the House had already passed its own version of the bill about, I guess, 3 months ago or so. So this is the Small Business Jobs Act. It does have to go back to the House. It should pass. Then it goes to the president. He'll sign it. And the idea is, anyway, it's expected to create 500,000 jobs. And that, and most of that probably will be jobs that are really construction jobs. And maybe some others too, but at least there's some movement there. And by hiring small businesses is considered to be the big thing, is what's driving job growth, because that has been shrinking over the last almost 3 years. And we know this. What are small businesses? 500 employees or less. How many small businesses are there? What does the country run on? A lot of small businesses, 90-some percent. I went to a breakfast the other day. Yeah, do you believe it? I think I had 2 hours sleep, but it was worth it to hear the president and CEO, and we'll get him on because he's got some interesting philosophies of a company called Flowserve that's pretty big right now. I mean, they do that. They design those pumps all over the place for not just gas, but for water and some other things. And anyway, that's a different kind of company where they've got 15,000 employees. But it was interesting to hear what he had to say about the economy and the effect on the people around their business. And a lot of small businesses support even corporations with what they're subbing out. So, you know, if that makes the economy in this country go round and round, then, you know, hey, we need it. And the key thing is, what did they leave out of it? I was concerned about the 1099 situation because of how many of those small businesses would be buried in a life of paperwork. Forget hiring, because they'll have to go through so much paperwork for anything that they sub out for $600 or less. It would be absolutely ridiculous. All right, coming up on the flip side, like I said, Johnny Battaglia, a two-part interview with him on, you know, mafia life and what it was like growing up in that kind of family and what he learned from his father and what he took out of it. You know, there's all these preconceived notions, certainly. Stay with us. You don't want to miss that right here next on ATN.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you want to breathe better, please write this down now. BreatheBetterAir.com. You don't have time to waste. Go to BreatheBetterAir.com and see the stylish Air Oasis 3000 Air Purifier. It has no filters, no messy plates to clean, requires no maintenance for 3 years, is built by hand in the U.S., and comes with a 3-year warranty. GCN listeners get a $100 discount and free air quality test kit at BreatheBetterAir.com or call 806-477-0322 to breathe better air now.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250-capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer special now at HerbalHealer.com.
Hey, listen, I went to school with Gina Gambino. I know all about the Gambino crime family. And the world, of course, fascinated by New Jersey and New York because of the Sopranos and the stranglehold they had on the ratings, frankly, at least in that HBO series, is absolutely incredible, so well done. Joining us now here on America Tonight, Johnny Bennett Battaglia. His father was part of the West Coast Mafia. And, boy, he was really entrenched in it when he was a kid in that whole culture. Think of the stereotypes. When I was on the air at WFAN in New York, I remember a lot of Italian folks didn't like that whole comparison with the mafia and got really, really upset. And part of that was due to some of the portrayals by the Sopranos. But I've had other people tell me they were dead on. He's got a new book out called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. You got to love that. You go from the mafia to being a cowboy. Hey, Johnny, thanks for hanging with us on ATN.
Hi, Kate. How's it going back there?
It's going good, buddy. You know, it's funny that you would know this much better than I because, of course, your father, very well known, John the Bat Battaglia, and, of course, you're also the nephew of Charlie Bats Battaglia. Tell everybody, for those who are I'll say virgins to the whole mafia culture, who they were.
Well, yes. You know, first I got to say, Battaglia is good, but Battaglia, the G is
Battaglia.
Solid.
Battaglia.
Yeah,
yes.
It's just one of those little things. You know, I'd like to start, if I could, you used to do a sports news talk show in Dallas, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to tell you a quick Dallas story about Dad when I was a very, very young boy. He was in Dallas doing syndicating racehorses. I should preface this by saying there were five original families The Bonanno family is the family that my father was affiliated with, and Joe Bonanno was from Sicily, of course, Castellamare, Sicily, and he was one of the five families, and they were basically from New York. They branched out west in the 40s, but Dad was syndicating racehorses, you know, and when you're selling something or syndicating, putting a group of investors together, you're supposed to sell 100%. Of something. Well, Dad right. sold usually about 1,000% of different things, you know, and then just kind of let the chips fall where they may after that. Well, he had just promoted a Texas oil man, I remember his name, but I won't say it right now, for $10,000 for a buy-in, and the guy got cold feet, and so he called the Texas Rangers. Well, the Texas Rangers, you know, accosted Dad. They didn't arrest him. They accosted him. And they took his $10,000 in cash, threw him in the trunk of their cruiser for 2 days in the Dallas heat and humidity. And he was in there for 2 days before they came. Then they got him out, and they said, "You got any money on you?" He said, "No, some rednecks took it from me." And they arrested him for vagrancy. They threw him in the drunk tank where he resided for the next week. He was missing, and nobody really knew where he was at until my mom called Jack Dragna, who was the head at that time of the L.A. Mafia, also known as the Mickey Mouse Mafia. That's what the guys back east called it because, you know, hey, Disneyland. But anyway, yeah. So after a week in squalid conditions, you know, this dapper man was finally bailed out after a few calls by Jack Dragna to, are you ready for this? Jack Ruby is the guy who bailed him out, and I corroborated this through jail records.
Wow. That's an incredible story, actually. And you have a ton of them. I mean, you could probably fill up a week's worth of talk radio with the stories and some of the things that you heard and saw, I'm sure, as a kid.
Okay, let's do that.
What was it like growing up around this? Are the stereotypes right on? I've had people tell me they are pretty close.
Well, I'll tell you something. The Sopranos, the only thing that was, you know, really super right on. And Godfather, you know, the Tattaglia family and the Godfather,
yes.
The actual, maybe the greatest film ever made. You know,
yeah.
I may be a little prejudiced, but I think it's one of the greatest films ever made. Tattaglia's in that book were supposedly part of the Battaglias, which is my family, a rough comparison. Also, Johnny Fontaine, and that was supposed to be Frank Sinatra, very much a parallel story to his. And but he went, the character was Johnny Fontaine, who was an amalgamation, people say, of my father, Johnny Battaglia, and his first wife, Jackie Fontaine, who was a major singer and actress at the time. The guys in L.A., the mob in L.A., they were matinee idols almost. Johnny Stompanato dated Lana Turner, and he was nothing but a bodyguard for Mickey Cohen, who was my father's partner in gambling operations. So it was they had a little bit of latitude in Los Angeles, and yet my dad said one time, every time a bird farted, he was called in for questioning.
So it's a little bit different than the East Coast, and that's how it's portrayed. You're right, that's how it's portrayed, especially in The Godfather. Certainly,
correct.
You can see the differences there. What about your uncle Charlie? What was Charlie known for, Battaglia? What was he known for?
Right. Well, yeah, thanks for saying it right. Uncle Charlie, he was great to us, you know. He worked for Joe Bonanno in Tucson. Joe Sr. hasn't been gone all that long. He was one of the original five families of the Mafia. I watched Dad play tennis with Joe in Tucson one time, you know, Joe Bonanno. Well, my dad was the captain of the tennis team at Terminal Island Federal Penitentiary in San Pedro. On the ocean in Los Angeles. So I've got a picture of him as captain of the tennis team with these hoods. It's hilarious. Anyway, I find it funny. But Uncle Charlie was the real deal. There's a book called The Last Mafioso that Jimmy the Weasel Fradiano wrote before. This was before they changed the law to where you couldn't profit from this sort of thing. Jimmy was on 60 Minutes, and he was one of the, and probably maybe the first and most important mafia turncoat, if you will, best friends with mom and dad, best friends. One time he called me at my mother's house, and I spoke with him while he was in the witness protection program. I spoke with him at length, and he told me about Uncle Charlie who he had nothing to gain or lose by telling me that they were the principals in the whacking of the two Tonys, Tony Brancato and Tony Trombino. It's a very famous mafia hit on the left coast. Uncle Charlie was instrumental in that. Of course, Jimmy painted him as a semi-coward, that he had to yell at him because it was Uncle Charlie's first piece of work. And so he had to yell at him, and then Charlie pulled the trigger. And then later he told me that my uncle had tried to rape his wife in the backseat of a car. So, you know, I think that might have tainted his impression of my uncle somewhat. But, yeah, these were bad, bad guys.
And did so you just grew up, and as a little boy, would you just sort of hear bits and pieces of things, like there was a hit or there was this, or, you know, they knocked over a truck?
Yeah, I would. Very intuitive of you. Now, you got to understand, I was extremely precocious. I was a very precocious youngster. I was aware of my surroundings. I was an old soul. I was an actor and a movie star, and not through my dad's doing, by the way. He was having legal struggles, and when Mom left, we were next door neighbors on Mulholland Drive in the Hollywood Hills with a gal that danced in all the beach party movies with Frankie and Annette. My great friend Sherry Lampkin, and we decided to hook her and Dad up, her two sons and Eddie, and I started following her to interviews, and I said, I want to do this, and I started getting major motion pictures. I did a lot of acting as a youth, and before Dad got thrown in the penitentiary, and then we moved to a small cowboy community in Oregon, which is the middle part of the book and not even the last. But while we're on the mafia, I remember the day Kennedy was shot and Dad surrounding himself with all the periodicals of the day and talking to people in New Orleans and different places. It's too heavy and too scary to really even talk about, but he would always sum things up, you know, and almost to, not to anyone in particular, but to whoever was listening, he would say, Oswald didn't do it.
And it was, really?
This was my interpretation of the thing. Oswald didn't do it. I mean, this is scary, scary, big, big stuff. And I went through the Freedom of Information Act for my book, which is available at Amazon.com. It's really the only place you can get it if you're interested in pursuing one heck of a story.
So in looking at that, when you're talking about the Kennedy stuff, was he alluding to the fact that he thought the mob did it then? He thought it was old Sammy, maybe?
Well, there are people, you know, there are people that have been considered for that job, so to speak, mm-hmm. and they may well have been. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not in a position to say unequivocally.
Right.
I knew some of the people he talked to on that very day, but. You know, this is stuff that I'd like to tread lightly on. And
I understand.
You know, who needs that kind of heat?
Right, I understand.
I've had heat my whole life because of who I am and had this to overcome. And, overcome or, you know, a lot of people that had a dad who was strong, let's say, in the arts or the entertainment or, you know, my dad had a quote. He said it was better to be infamous than not famous at all. I disagree with that totally. Now that I'm 53 years old and have seen the world through the eyes of someone who thought that. And lately, of course, you know, Andy Warhol's mantra, 15 minutes of fame. This is a 15-minute interview, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is your 15 minutes? You have many more. You've had many more 15 minutes of fame, I think, for back in the acting days and everything else.
Exactly. And the thing is that, no, I do not agree with that. And, you know, they did a survey here recently where kids were asked what's the most important. I think it was CBS News did a pretty broad interview of what's the most important thing in this life. And they said to be famous.
Oh, I know. I saw that.
Did you?
Oh, is that crazy? Hey, Johnny, can you hang on and we'll meet you on the flip side of the break?
I'm going to send somebody out to rough you up.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny Bennett Battaglia. Coming back on the flip side, because he's got other things to talk about, the whole cowboy deal and finish up with the mob. Oh, my. Hang with us here on ATN.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutritional tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We continue our conversation with somebody who grew up with the mafia and somehow went from the mafia, as I said earlier, to ending up going to become a cowboy through a mother's relationship. We'll get to that in a second here. Coming up later, we're going to talk about the CIA interrogation tactics and all that other sort of stuff as well mixed in. Johnny Bennett Battaglia, though, he was his father was a big part of the West Coast Mafia. We've been talking about it. Johnny, thanks for hanging through with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I bought five products while I was waiting.
The book is called, you're very funny, the book is called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails, and you can get it on Amazon.com. And the great thing is no one's going to break your knuckles. You can just go there and order it, and that's what it is. Hey, so when you grew up as a kid, though, you know how we all, a lot of times we want to emulate our fathers, our family, whatever. Did you want to be really, did you want to be part of the business? Did you want to, like Tony's son in The Sopranos, did you want to be that guy?
Yeah. Nobody wants to be Tony's son in The Sopranos. I mean, the guy flunked. He couldn't even commit suicide properly.
True.
You know, but I gotta tell you, those guys were right on The Sopranos. Those, some of those guys, Paulie and a few of those guys, we had to call all of them uncle when I was growing up. That would be Uncle Paulie, Uncle, you know, this was, you know, family. And oh man, they were dynamite, just dynamite. I've never seen anything like it, and mixed in with the music and everything. Did I want to be like that? I wanted to be a movie star. I mean, I saw it. I was around it. Dad was friends with people like Joseph Pasternak, who did the Dr. Zhivago. And, I mean, he was on first-name basis with a lot of these guys because they love to gamble, for
right.
one thing. I mean, you know, when you've got that kind of money, what are you going to do with it? You know, and Dad helped him do something with it, and it made it seem fun up until the point where, you know, like Monty Hall, do you remember Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
Okay, Monty liked to play the horses. Okay, and he owed Dad a bunch of money, Dad and Mickey Cohen. That's not healthy. He had a show at the time where fathers and sons would get together and ride these golf carts around and get all these prizes and everything. Well, my brother got on the show, my older brother, imagine that. We were in parochial school at St. Ambrose at the time in Los Angeles, and Sister Amata was the greatest shortstop I've ever seen. She was amazing. I think she had wheels on under the habit. Anyway, so they went on there and won thousands and thousands of dollars worth of camping gear, 500-gallon aquariums. You can't even believe what they won. And this was, you know, a nationally televised thing. So did I want to be him? No, I wanted to be a movie star. When I went to college 1 year at the University of Oregon, I decided that wasn't for me. I had the attention span of a wet dish rag. And I went down and visited Uncle Charlie in Tucson in 1975 and asked him, you know, hey, let's do this. Well, he'd recently been just gotten out of Leavenworth for interstate transportation of stolen goods and pinball machines and this kind of thing. So he said, no, son, there's nothing here for you. He suggested I go back to school. And he didn't know I'd already been to 15 of them. My mother married a very famous rodeo cowboy, and we were at a very impressionable age. And we got involved in the world of rodeo. My brother became a nationally recognized rodeo rider. Bronc riding was his event. We actually produced the livestock and promoted and produced rodeos. So that was kind of the middle portion of my younger life.
And doing that, it's different, obviously, going into the rodeo environment. What did you find? What was that like for you? What was that transition like?
So interesting. You know, I was lucky in a way. It's kind of a young guy's ideal. I mean, we drove tractors and trucks and equipment, and you know, you shot guns, and you know, and they drank beer and chased girls, and it was just it was totally different from the LA. Very respectful, you know. Had so, boy, you better do everything right, and you know, I mean, we got so wild they had to rope us to hand us our mail.
Yeah, but I'm pumped. We need a rim shot for that. Yeah, there you go. So you could actually ride, though. I mean, you learned how to do all this stuff.
I rode bulls in the rodeo. Yeah,
wow.
And I have a hip now that's bone on bone from it, arthritic. I got slammed into a wall one time at a rodeo on a Brahma bull. And let me tell you, it's no picnic.
What did your dad think of you guys doing that? His son.
Well, there's a funny link here. Sicilians in Sicily, there was a cowboy element there. You know, they raised livestock and they had cattle and they roped and rode and, you know, there was a cowboy element. And it's an element that Sicilians fit into somehow extremely well. Joe Bonanno had a son, not Bill, but the next one down, can't think of his name. He was and is, to my knowledge, a cowboy. It just, it kind of fits somehow. You know, if you've got that gene where the excitement, the adrenaline is part of your makeup, there's an excitement gene. I don't know what it is. I ain't Dr. Phil.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, you're going to be a jet pilot, you're going to be a stock car racer, you're going to be a rodeo rider, you're going to be a mafioso. So, yeah, cowboy is there.
Yeah, the adrenaline rush. I totally get that. So you're raised in this mafia environment. You end up doing the cowboy thing, and then what? Then what's the cocktails?
I have no idea. I was drinking.
Yeah, you just went to the right after that. It was booze. On to the booze. I'm tired now.
No, I was a professional entertainer, singer, songwriter, musician for quite a few years, and I traveled around. And you know, I love to make people laugh, but I did it mainly at my own expense. I did a lot of things. I did a lot more acting. I got charted with records. I did a lot of things, but mainly I was a champion at debauching myself. You know, I had no problem with, I never wanted to be better than anybody. I always wanted to be liked. So I found the lowest common denominator and tried to take it down one notch. You know, tell people I didn't have a drinking problem. Drinking had my problems. I made light of it. You know, I said, I've never, you know, people say you got to hit rock bottom. I just keep lowering the rocks. You know, I had a lot of things, a lot of issues, you know, and from my childhood, you know, my mom shot my dad in the guts. That's where the book opens. My book opens right with my mother shooting my dad in the Hollywood Hills. I'm like 6 or 7 years old. And the next thing I see, this is where my book opens. Dad being hauled out of the house on a stretcher with enough people to form a human chain around the house and hold hands. I mean, the paper said there were 50 police enforcement there, and this was before SWAT, or I'm sure they'd have been there along with the state militia and the ladies' auxiliary post 309. You know, I mean, it's so big. You had to have some sort of catharsis, and either that or ignore it. I ignored it through drinking. This is my catharsis.
Yeah, I gotcha. Interesting stuff. Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. Johnny Battaglia, I wish you the best with this book. You're a very funny guy. You got to come back on with us, okay?
If you insist.
If I insist. We're trying to give you 25 minutes of fame. Forget the 15.
Okay, I'll take your 25 and raise it 25. What do you say?
Hey, I'm a gambler. I like it. I'll do it.
Really?
I'll take it. Yeah, oh, yeah. Thanks, Johnny. That's great. Thanks. You appreciate it, man.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
All right, you take care. And again, interesting stories in sharing there with his father was a very famous man, certainly from a famous family, as he was weaving into some of the stories. And the last story telling you that he was just a kid when his father was shot by his mother, and that was a big story in Los Angeles, certainly. But the mafia had tentacles all over the place. In fact, I just read a story where there are 26 specific cities in the United States where there's still serious mafia ties that go through the Italian route. I mean, there's other forms of mafia, and you could pin other stereotypes to it, but strictly Sicily, ties from Sicily, ties from Italy. You got 26 big cities. Can you guess what those cities are? If you were thinking, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, that would be a couple of them on the list. Just say that. There's some big hints for you. If you were thinking Chicago, perhaps parts of Florida, that would also work as well. Anyway, in the book, it's interesting because he talks about some of the real specific things that he overheard and some of what it was like to grow up where things fall off the truck and you pretty much get anything you want. You heard him tell that Monty Hall story just there. Interesting stuff, good stuff. Reminds me of watching The Sopranos. Ooh, I was hooked into that series. Don't know about you guys. Hey, you can shoot me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.